What incredible testimonies tonight. Did you see Jesus? Did you see what he can do with a disturbed mind? Did you see what he could do with a broken life? Did you see how he could, just one touch from his hand could bring healing? Did you see how he could touch a young man's mind, touch a young girl's heart? Did you see the power of God in this pulpit tonight? Did we come to church sometimes and we sit and we look and we go, that was good, and we can even clap, and sometimes, you know, it can be like, you know, God was in this place and we never knew it. But if you just stop for a minute and reflect what we said, think about who touched them. Think about who called them. Think about the power of God. It can break through prison cells, break through walls, break through feelings. God can touch you where you are. God knows how to reach you. God knows how to touch a man. God knows how to rescue men. And that's you and that's me. God has touched our lives. But there's more. Paul said, we're talking about the love of God. The love of God constrains me. It's the love of God that motivates me. When that young man was talking about, he was in a psychiatric ward, and that youth leader, that was like Jesus to him. There's a man who was willing to pay the price. The love of God was constraining him. And I want to speak to you tonight. I noticed the last few days we've been speaking about the love of God, and this morning when I came in on the screen, it was a year of answered prayer. And I want to speak to you about that tonight. I want to talk to you about prayer, because there comes a time when you get a revelation of the love of God for our lives. And we stay in that revelation. We stay in God's love. The book of Jude says, keep yourself in the love of God. But there must come a time when that love gets poured out to other people. When it starts to touch your neighbor. When it starts to touch your family. When it starts to touch your friends. There's a passage of scripture I'd like to read to you. It's found in Matthew 15, starting from verses 21 to verse 28. Matthew 15, verse 21 to 28. The title of my message tonight is, forget about yourself and pray and love somebody else. Forget about yourself and love and pray for somebody else. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman, a Canaanite, came from the region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, she's crying after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed at that moment. It's an incredible story. Here is a woman. And I believe this woman is the type of church that God is looking for. We know we should pray. We know that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. We know that God desires to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives. But here is a woman. She's looking for Jesus. She's heard about the stories. She's heard how he's opened blind eyes and set the captives free. She's heard how men who were dead living in caves and he would touch them and they would wake up. She's heard probably about how madmen cutting themselves and just one touch from this man Jesus had healed people and set them free. She'd heard the stories of the goodness of God. She'd heard the stories of Jesus, and she comes to him. And it's obviously she'd heard these stories, how leopards, where there was no healing in those days, that would be touched and their skin would be cleansed in a moment. How people who were demon-possessed and chains were broken and open prison doors. No doctor could help. There was no hope for some of the situations that met Jesus face to face. And here she is. She's here. And I want to talk about this woman, because this woman was passionate, because somebody else was on the end of her love. Somebody else was on the end of her prayer. This was not a prayer about help me. This was not a prayer, God love me. This was starts to go beyond reason. It's not about me anymore. I know you love me, God. I know you've touched my life. I know you've rescued me. Now I want to be a vessel and a channel for that love to come through. You see, God sent Paul to the Gentiles. Pastor said it last night. He sent him to the Gentiles. It's ironic he never sent him to the Jews, because it was going to be the love of God. It was going to be even something contrary to what he was used to. He was going to send him to a people that he wasn't used to. And then he touched Peter's life and sent him to the Jews, because it's the love of God to people who are imperfect. And this woman comes to Jesus. And the first thing she does, listen to this, says in verse 23, that she came to him. It's incredible. And he said, but he answered her not a word. No, he's touching people straight away. He's speaking to people straight away. And here's this woman saying, would you heal my daughter? And it said, he answered her not a word. And we know the end of the story. It said she had great faith. But you need to remember, this was unfolding. We know the end of the story. And this woman is coming up to Jesus. She says, Jesus, heal my daughter. And it said, he did not answer her a word. But I want to tell you, faith keeps you going when God is silent. You see, faith keeps you going when you can't hear him and you can't see him hardly. You need to trace him. You need to trust him even when you can't trace him. This woman's standing in front of him. She's standing in front of the very answer, and he answers her not a word. And I want to tell you, faith keeps you going. I thank God for that youth leader, Sam, who kept going to that door, kept going to that young man. And this woman is desperate. You see, friends, until we get the love of God in our heart for this world, for the broken and for the lost, we're only going to come with prayers for ourselves. We're going to ask God to provide our needs and meet our needs. And there's nothing wrong with that. But God wants us to go deeper. You see, there's a world out there who needs our prayers. There's prisoners who need prayer. I mean, Peter was in a prison and the church prayed for him. He was in between two guards. He was chained up. It was an impossible situation. And yet, an angel came and broke the chains. Do we believe in supernatural prayer? Do we believe that God still opens prison doors? We're not talking to a God who can't hear us. We're talking to a God who can hear us. Hallelujah. But we must come in faith. Say, God, I don't care if you're silent. I know you're there. I've seen you answer prayer. I've seen the captives free. I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to keep seeking. I'm not going to give up, because there's somebody on the other end of my prayer. There's going to be people in heaven. And they're going to be standing in a queue, and they're going to look over, and they're going to look at you. And they're going to say, thank God you never gave up when God was silent. Because the very next day I walked into the church, when you felt like giving up, when you nearly threw the towel in, but you kept on praying, I walked into the church, you preached the good news, and the chains came off and my soul was set free. Thank God you never gave up when God was silent. Because we have a God who answers prayer. Can you say amen? But you must come in faith. We must believe that God answers. What a powerful weapon against the enemy. What a powerful weapon is prayer. And this woman is desperate. And she's praying, God, speak to me. And then it goes on to say, in verse 23. And the disciple says, send her away. Send her away. And I'll tell you, prayer will not be stopped by discouraging disciples. And there's enough of them. There's enough. Well, let's move this mountain. Well, we've tried it before. Well, we're trying again. Let's believe God for great things. Well, we've been there. It's not going to happen. Joshua and Caleb are going in to take the promised land. They've got nothing but a word from God. And there's 8 people come out in totally desperate, 1.5 million people, because they're discouraging disciples. They don't believe the promises of God. They're not standing on the word of God. They're living by sight and not by faith. They're living by what they see. They're looking at the size of the giants. They're looking at the mountain. They're looking at the state of the drug addict. They're looking at the state of somebody's life. They're looking at their eye and they're saying, this is impossible. But men and women of faith who believe God when he's silent and in the midst of discouragement are saying, I don't care what my eyes say. I don't care what I'm feeling. With God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All things are possible. God can do anything. God can set captives free. I believe God can do anything. I believe God can touch a city. I believe God can touch a family. I believe that God can touch an individual. And I believe tonight, if you've walked in here and there's a bondage in your life, that God has sent you here to hear this message, that God is not silent. He hears your prayer. That God, and you're discouraged, and God said, no, keep on crying out to me. Your cry is coming through. Keep crying to me. I'm a God who answers prayer. I want to tell you, if you're in tonight and you're in despair or you don't know God or you're a Christian, and most Christians, honestly, they have eternal life, but they're not experiencing abundant life. And I want to tell you tonight that there's a God who answers prayer. You keep crying to God because help is on the way. God answers prayer. Hallelujah. And the devil wants to discourage prayer meetings. He's trying to shut prayer meetings down. In fact, most churches don't even have them now because they think it's a waste of time because they're living by sight. And the devil fears a church that opens its doors and says, come and pray. Let's talk to God about our cities. Let's talk to God about our families. Let's cry out to God for the lost. Let's cry for a revival. Let's cry that the captives get set free. Hallelujah. What a savior. This woman won't go away. And then God says to her, basically he said, I came for the house of Israel. And she says this, but even the dogs take the crumbs that fall from the master's table. There is nothing stopping her. This is persistent prayer. This is persistent love. How humiliating. This is a woman whose daughter is demon possessed. And God is silent, but she keeps pressing in because somebody's on the other end of it. And until we get the love of God on the end of our prayers, we're going to give in. We're going to be discouraged and we're going to go away. But we need the love of God. Paul said, the love of God shed abroad in my heart, it constrains me. How can you get beaten, battered, shipwrecked, stoned, and then go back into a city and keep preaching the love of God? Because the love of God was in his heart. He wouldn't give up. I tell you, God loves men and women who keep knocking and keep asking and don't give in. But there's so many people going to a prayer closet, and as soon as God, we live in a very instant generation. Everything's instant. You can't even go to McDonald's. One person in front of you, people are getting agitated. They don't know how to wait anymore. Instant coffee. I'll be waiting 2 minutes. So you can see them raging. 2 minutes. What do you mean 2 minutes? 2 minutes. There's a rage in them. Everybody's in a rush. Nobody wants to wait. It's called breakthrough prayer. You go into a room and you need to break through the flesh and the tiredness and the enemy and the devil until you break through. It's called breaking through into God. But it's not for you, it's for others. But it's going to need to be done through a baptism of love for this poor world. This is not about us. It's about the next generation. It's about the people beyond the walls. And
she said, I'm not going. You can call me what you want. What you've said about me is absolutely true. And I'll tell you, if you're going to go to God in prayer, I'll tell you, God's going to deal with you while you're praying for others. He's going to remove everything in your life. Praying in faith. Listen to what she says. Then, after he said, I came for the lost sheep, then she came and worshipped him. Praying in faith will bring a real humility. I'll tell you, when your son and daughter is sick, or your daughter wakes up with a lump in her breast and life hits the road, I'm telling you, you're going to pray like you've never prayed before. You're going to be desperate because there's a love in your heart for your daughter. There's a love in your heart for your child. And we know God put that love there. It's a natural love. But we need a supernatural baptism of love so that we will go to our knees again for this world, for our friends, for our family, and start believing. Friends, you are going to need to stir yourself up tonight. You see, if I was talking about how God could bless you tonight, how God wants to touch you tonight, I'm telling you, we might wake up a bit more, but I'm asking you tonight, if you go a little bit deeper and say, God, baptize me in your love, not just for me, but for somebody else. Give me a love for this world. When you've got a love for God, you're going to preach from a pure heart. For nothing more than to see a soul saved and give him the glory and give him the honor. When you've got the love of God in your heart, you can't say, look what I've done for God, but you'll say, I can tell you what he's done through my life. When's the last time you just got a grip of God for somebody else? And said, I'm not leaving God. I have a love in my heart. And I'll tell you, God put his love in people's heart. You know, people who went to India years ago, missionaries took coffins with them and they put their clothes in it because they knew they kissed their mum and dad on the shores and put their stuff in coffins because they knew they weren't coming back. They had a burden for a country it wasn't their own. Now, who put that there? What would make you die in another country away from your family? I'll tell you, a supernatural baptism of the love of Christ. Do you need baptized in the love of Christ tonight? Are you willing to lift your hands and say, God, I thank you. I know you love me. We've spoken about the love of God. I know you love me. But now, God, turn that love. Let me reflect your love to a lost world. Let me, Lord, put that love in my heart so that I will pray with all humility. I will pray and look undignified. I'll tell you, when people are dying, when people are sick, and it's somebody connected to you, all dignity goes. You don't care who's looking. You're absolutely desperate. And I believe God, this woman is a picture. I really do. I believe this with all my heart. This woman is what God is saying to his church. I'm looking for that kind of passion for the world that I died for. I'm looking for that kind of humility. I'm looking for that kind of tenacity. I'm looking for that kind of desperation. God, I can't let you go until you touch her. Verse 28 says, O woman, great is your faith. I mean, after all that, you see, God is quiet. God allowed discouragement. God was silent because God was getting to a deeper place of her faith. He was allowing it to happen to bring it into a deeper place of prayer. This is what he said to her. Oh woman, your great is faith. Let it be to you as you desire. You see, I'll tell you, if you go into a room tomorrow. Go into a room tomorrow and pray for everything else but yourself. And I'll tell you, you're going to have a fight in your hands. Within 10 minutes, you're going to come back to you. Lord, I just thank you for Billy and William and Fred and John and William. God, you know they need saved. But anyway, God, touch me. It's just, try it. And God's like, I know your needs. And it comes back to us. Lord, I just pray tomorrow. God, you know, I'm preaching tomorrow. Don't talk to him all week, but I'm preaching tomorrow. Would you anoint me? touch me because I've been lazy, but just touch me anyway because I don't want to look like an idiot. And it's all but you and me. And God says, can I give you a piece in my heart? Can I trust you with my love in my heart? Can I trust you if I show you somebody? Now, I'm going to call myself an intercessor, but I don't know much about intercessory prayer, but I know an intercessor where I can go to and lay my prayer at his feet. I know that much. I know right now there's an intercessor in heaven praying for you and me. Can you imagine if you could listen to the prayers of Jesus next door, what he was saying about his church and about you and me tonight? God, touch Jay. Strengthen him. Bless him. Touch him, God. He's trying his best. He prayed for us in John 17. That prayer's going to be answered. And this woman, can you imagine? This girl was demon-possessed. Can you imagine when that woman went back home? Think about this for a minute with me, will you? Give me your attention. Just try and stay awake and try and hear the voice behind my voice. Can you imagine when that woman went home? And her daughter comes out the room. And she's dressed. And in a sound mind. And she goes, Mom. Wait till I tell you what happened. That demonic influence was robbing me of abundant life. It was robbing me of relationships. It was robbing me of having a normal life in the community. It was disturbing my life night and day. But about 2 o'clock this afternoon, I was in my room. And something black just lifted off my life. Hallelujah. Something black just lifted off my life. And her mum tells her the story. And she says, Mum, let's dance and celebrate. Mum, I just want to say thank you for not leaving when God was silent. Thank you, Mum. Hallelujah. Thank you when you were discouraged and you were about to give up. Thank God you planted that church through hell and high water because I was that soul that got saved. Hallelujah. Thank you when you were discouraged and voices were coming against you and tried to rob your voice and steal the voice of prayer from your heart. When you were down and discouraged, Mom, thank you you never gave up, Mom. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Well, let's put it another way. Can you imagine if she had left when God was silent? Wow. Can you imagine if she'd left through discouragement, and many do, as a weapon of the enemy? And God said, I want to bring my church to this place of desperation for other people. It's mature prayer and it's mature faith. If you're going to have a prayer, a year of breakthrough prayer, you're going to need that kind of love. You're going to need that kind of passion. You're going to need that kind of persistence to break through. God will put things in your heart. I still believe, I have this thing in my heart that God can move through cities and touch them. Friends, this is either real or it's not. This is either true or God is just playing games, which he's not. And this woman came through discouragement, came through silence, and God touched her. And what did Jesus pray for when he prayed for Peter? I pray that your faith won't fail. And he said to this woman, you've got great faith. But I'll tell you, we know the end of the story, but she never. And she was worshipping him. She was probably on her knees and the crowd were looking around her. And the disciples were saying, send her away. She's calling after us. And by the way, she wasn't calling after them. She was trying to get to him. Nobody's calling after us. If anybody wants, if they see anything good in us, let me tell you, it's him they want. And tonight I'm going to ask you, in a year of prayer, in a year of breakthrough prayer, are you willing to say tonight, God, whatever it takes, baptize me with your love and baptize me with a holy desperation to have a breakthrough year of prayer for family and friends. I mean, there's lots of prayers in the Bible. The Bible says pray for your leaders. The Bible says pray for each other. The Bible says pray for the sick.
The Bible said, go out and preach in the gospel and pray for those who are bound. There's power in prayer, and the devil doesn't like it. I'll tell you, even tonight, the enemy would love this seed not to get out. He would love it not to get out. I'll tell you, there's a battle even right now to get this word into your heart. Because it's not about us. Do you hear it? Can you see it tonight? How many times have you walked into a room and you're about to pray and you're not even tired and you get tired? You're not even hungry and you get hungry. You're not even thirsty and you get thirsty. Because there's an enemy who wants to stop it. But I dare you tonight, in a year of breakthrough prayer in the summer or your church or wherever, if you're a visitor here, I dare you and your husband to grab each other by the hand tonight in the kitchen and say, man, do you know what? We've been discouraged. Let's trust God for our son again. Let's trust God for our daughters again. Let's trust God for those who are backslidden. Let's trust God that our community can get touched by this church. Can you say amen? Are you glad tonight there's somebody praying for you? Are you glad tonight that Jesus is interceding for us? He's praying for you and me tonight. He spent 33 years on this earth, and the rest of the time he's been praying for his church. That's a priority now. Saturate everything in prayer. Take everything to God in prayer. The Bible says, what peace we often forfeit because we don't take it to God in prayer. Remember Peter with his mother-in-law. His mother-in-law came. She was sick and they told Jesus, and Jesus went over and touched her and healed her. All we need to do is talk to him. All we need to do is talk to Jesus. All we need to do is say, God, will you touch my mom? Will you touch my dad? Will you touch my children? Will you touch my church? Will you touch my community? I want to tell you tonight, if you're sitting here, he can touch you. He can touch you. First thing this woman said was, have mercy on me. And that's where it starts. Tonight. Is there anybody here that needs... I know we've been talking about the baptism of the Spirit. Can I ask you tonight, does anybody need baptized in the love of God? You can say, I need a fresh baptism in the love of God. Because I keep going to prayer and it keeps coming back to me. But I need a baptism that's going to bring me this kind of breakthrough. This kind of tenacity. This kind of breakthrough. And I'm going to tell you, if you are going to say to God tonight, God, baptize me in your love. I'm going to start praying a desire of your heart for this world and the people in this world and the broken. I'm telling you, all hell will let loose. I tell you, the devil hates a praying man or woman. He absolutely hates them. And it says in James that Elijah was a man of like passions, just like us. And yet when he prayed, and he prayed according to the word of God, he knew the word of God, and he prayed, didn't he? Do you have faith tonight that God answers prayer? Before you answer that, please, I want you to look into your spirit and say, God, when I come to you, do I really expect this? You're going to answer this? Do I really believe, God, that you can break the chains in Billy's life or William's life? Do I really believe that that woman who stands on that street corner selling her body, if you put her on my heart and I pray, could even from a distance, and she doesn't even know me, that you could do something in prayer? The early church in the book of Acts, and they prayed, and the place where they were was shaken. And they prayed, and prison doors started opening. And they prayed for the sick and they got healed. And they prayed for the demonic and they got set free. That's the power of prayer. That's the power of God. Everywhere you read through the book of Acts, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. And they were looking for Jesus. And it was up early in the morning, and they found him praying early in the morning. They found him late at night. He went up mountains all night, doing all night prayer meetings. Jesus said, this type will only come out by prayer and what? Fasting and seeking God. He told Daniel, Daniel, from the first day you set your heart towards me, I heard your prayer. But Daniel was a busy man. He's praying for a nation. And God's saying tonight, would you have the same passion, the same humility, and the same love this woman had for her daughter? And we have the same faith, believing that I can do what it says I can do. Unbelief will kill the church. It's going to make it anemic. And God said, this woman had faith, humility, tenacity, determination. But I believe, and I'm telling you tonight, that the reason she was able to go right through with breakthrough prayer and get the answer to prayer was because of love. Now, we were talking about the love of God all week, how the Father loves us and we love God, and how Jonah loved Nineveh, but it all resulted in love. And if you can hear me tonight and just keep with me and keep pressing in just for a few more moments, I'm telling you, prayer is going to be so effective if it's done through faith, and at the end of it is love. See, I can't pray for that world if I don't have the love of God in my heart for it. I'll pray for it because I know it's a duty rather than a privilege. I know I should pray for people because it's right. But when there's a baptism of love, I'm telling you, it's going to take you into prayer and say, God, I'm saved. I'm loved. I'm forgiven. You've given me eternal life. Now, God, use my life for others. That's what I'm learning. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there. I go into a rehab every day where there's people injecting into their veins. I go into the ladies' centre, and there's young men and women injecting into their groin, and they come into Teen Challenge chapels, and I'll tell you honestly, professional counsellors couldn't touch them. It's so deep. They can't even, their mind's so boggled, they can't hear the instruction. And maybe some of you are just silly enough to believe. It is how it used to be. So we get them in and we lay hands on them and we say, in the name of Jesus. And you start to see them getting restored. And then you start to see them dancing. And you start to see them lifting their hands. Some of them are skin and bone and they're lifting their hands. They're holding their trousers up while they're lifting their hands. The eyes are sunk into the sockets, but they're saved. They're getting up in the morning, look, they're like this, look, because of the pain and aches of detoxing. But they're baptized in the Holy Ghost, praising God because somebody prayed. Psychiatrist couldn't touch them, doctor couldn't touch them. I thank God for medical advancement. This woman, this was the last, she was talking to the source of life. She was talking to him who was there in the beginning when God threw the stars into space and put the moon and the sun in its place. She was at his feet. She was kneeling down. She said, I'm not leaving. My daughter's on the other end of this prayer, and you are the source of life. You're the answer. I'm not leaving. And God says, ask. I mean, this is God. Listen to me. God saying, come into a room and ask, knock, and seek, and you will find. I mean, what an incentive. Wouldn't it be great tonight, maybe, if we never had an altar call and said, find a door and go behind it and just cry out? I mean, I won't, but I would like to. I would love to. I've got a list of boys' names from my rehab. I look at them and I pray, God, you're the only hope. And I might be the only voice that's talking to you for them today. And I've got major needs in my life right now, and I've got major problems. But do you know what? I'm not going to ask today, Lord. You know my needs. I'm going to ask you for them today. I'm going to give my time for them today. I challenge you on your year of breakthrough prayer or your year of answered prayer. And I am not saying don't pray for yourself, but I'm saying this to you. Go into a room now and again and try not to pray for others, and I'll tell you, find a battle. It's a mature prayer. It's deep. And when you do, I'll tell you this, you're going to get results and you're going to see answers. But it's going to come through humility. It's going to come through discouragement, and you're going to need to stay there until you get a breakthrough. The last thing I want to tell you is tonight, so short message, is this. Prayer keeps on going until it gets an answer. A yes or a no, but I'm not leaving until I get an answer. In this case, God said, let it be unto you as you desire. And her daughter was set free. Now, I'm not saying, you know, if somebody doesn't come through, it's our fault. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying we just keep pressing through until we get an answer. Thank God he didn't answer all of our prayers. But you can take people to the Lord in prayer. And the church has a responsibility. And I think we've prayed now. Like Zacharias, a righteous man, a godly man. He was praying all the years for a child. And when God did give him one, he didn't believe God. And God had to shut his mouth. God had to take his voice because of his unbelief. That God could do what he said he was going to do. And he prayed to God. He was a righteous man. And yet God had to close his mouth because he wanted to perform what he'd been praying for years. I'm going to give Elizabeth a child. I'll tell you, I don't want God to shut. I want a voice for as long as I can. I want to pray to God and I want to come with expectation. There's very little expectation that God will answer prayer deep in your heart sometimes. And God says, even give me that and I'll put an expectation in you that I can answer prayer. Exercise your faith tonight. And pray. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand for a moment. Will you with me? Will you close your eyes for a moment? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I come to you right now and I ask for a baptism of love. We ask, Lord, for a baptism of love that fills us and empties us of ourself and a concern for what's in your heart. For this college, for the community, for the churches in this area, for New York, for Scotland, Lord, there's people, daughters, sons. Lord, help us to have a Holy Ghost desperation to come to you and carry things to you in prayer. Lord, help us to give you our burdens tonight. Help us, Lord, to be the people of prayer. Lord, use my life as a voice that would cry out to you on behalf of others. Not just living for the benefit of others, Lord, but actually crying for them as well. Living for them and praying for them and reaching them. Asking his church tonight, are you desperate? Will you be desperate for that? Will you give me your heart and let me put that kind of desperation in your heart for my world? Let me put that kind of tenacity in your heart for the broken, for the lost. Let me put that kind of breakthrough prayer in your heart. Tell you something about prayer. It will kill your flesh. When you go into prayer, it's really a sacrifice of time. It's a sacrifice that your flesh will not want to do it. It's a real sacrifice. And as you come, there might be things that God says, you know, this will hinder your prayer. I need to move this tonight. I need to move the hindrances. And he'll tell us stuff about ourselves to lay down. And you say, God, I'm going to come to you because, and I'm not talking about, there's no condemnation in this about praying for 2 and 3 hours. It's just coming to God in prayer. I'm not going to give you a time or a how or a where or a when, but just a heart that says, God, give me a heart that prays for others and breaks through.
Give me a heart that will not let you go and wrestle for others. I'm willing, Lord, to take the burdens. If you put a burden on my heart, I'm willing to pray it through. I'm willing to see it through. God, would you baptize us with a love and a passion this woman has for her daughter? Would you fill her heart with your love, Father, for the world, for the nations,
yes, God,
that are broken? Would you fill her heart with our brothers and sisters in the world who are being persecuted, Lord, and need prayer? Would you fill her heart for a day for them? Let, you know, the Bible talks about no forgetting them. We're so wrapped up in ourselves. Lift your eyes and say, God, give me somebody to pray for. Give me a country. Give me a nation. Give me a person. Maybe somebody in your family. But God, baptize me with a burden to pray. Breakthrough prayer. Jesus, come, Lord. Lord, would you come right now by your Spirit and do what only you can do? Lord, I come against even every device of the enemy. We come against, Lord, any spirit of heaviness.
In the name of Jesus.
We come to you, Lord. We cry out to you. We say, first of all, Lord, have mercy on us. Let this woman have mercy on us, God. Let there be a liberty tonight, Lord, in our spirit. Let there be a liberty in our prayer, Lord. Let the windows of heaven be open, Lord. Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We cry to you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We cry to you, Lord, for our nation. We cry to you, Lord, for America. We cry to you, Lord, for the UK. We cry to you, Lord, for the nations. You said, Lord, you'd give us the nations. We cry to you, Lord, for our sons and our daughters. Seeds that were planted years ago, but they're sitting in bars. Lord, awaken those seeds and bring conviction. Awaken those seeds and bring light into their hearts. Are you thinking about somebody tonight? Just start to bring them to God right now. Start to cry out to God. Say, God, touch them. God, draw them back into fellowship. Draw them back into your love.
Yes, God.
Start to let light shine in the seeds that are deep in their heart. Now, we know God loves us, but we're asking for a mighty baptism of his love in our heart for this world, that we will weep again. Yeah, weep again and cry again for what our eyes see, that we will never get familiar with a beggar on the street. We will never get familiar where a woman is getting battered, and the abnormal might be normal to this world, but it's not normal to Christ, and it's not normal to us. It's not normal to walk and see addicts on the street and prostitutes on corners. It's not normal that our kids can't play on the street and dance anymore because the state our world's in. It's not normal. Don't let the abnormal become normal to us. Let's never stop weeping at this for this poor world. Let's never stop crying out, God, touch us, touch your church. Revive us, Lord. Because if you revive us, then there's hope for the world with a revived church. If you need a heart tonight, if your heart needs revived, I'm going to ask you to come to this altar. I'm going to ask you to leave your seat right now and say, God, revive my heart. Start with me. Then come right now. Come in humility. Come undignified. Come crying out. It doesn't need to be silent tonight. Cry out. If you're desperate, cry out. Say, God, So I'm going to ask you tonight, revive me. Revive my heart with your love. Revive my heart with faith. Come on, come. There's room at this altar. Come. This is the last night and we're asking God to do something special in our hearts. But thank God, thank God, thank God, we're asking Him to do something special for the benefit of others. Do you get it tonight? Do you hear me? We're asking Him to do something for the benefit of others. Do something in my heart for the benefit of others. Do something in my heart for the benefit of others. Do something in my heart for the benefit of others. God, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us, God. But it was her love. It was the love. Jesus said, you've got great faith. It was her love. Somebody was on the other end of her love. It was her love for her daughter. That brought her to that place of desperation. It was her love in the state that her daughter was in that drove her to Christ. It was love. When she was discouraged, kept going because she knew somebody else is on the end of this. Somebody else is on the other end of us preaching the gospel. When we're discouraged, we need to keep preaching. We need to keep running. We need to keep praying. We need to keep planting churches. We need to keep going to places where there's no voice and be a voice. We need to keep our prayer closets and go in there and go on fire for God and burn. We need to keep bringing our burdens to the Lord in prayer. We need to get back to what the early church done. They said everywhere they went, they prayed. They asked God for boldness. They asked God for strength. They asked God for a fresh infilling. They asked God. Even right down to Peter's mother-in-law being sick, they said they went and told him and he touched her and she lifted up and she served him. Simple things like that to great things. God cares. God cares about our prayers that He's put in our heart. And we need to start believing that we are not just having prayer meetings for the sake of it, but actually there is going to be, this is a year of answered prayer. That we're going to expect great testimonies next year. We're going to expect great things next year because we went to the Lord in prayer. Some stuff we'll see, and some stuff we might not see till the other side of eternity. But I know tonight that somebody's going to be standing in heaven saying, I'm so glad you never gave up when God was silent. I'm so glad when you were discouraged, you kept on preaching, kept on teaching, kept on running, and kept your doors open. Thank you for not giving up. I just want you to get one person in your heart right now and just lift them to the Lord. Just one person right now and say, God, or two or three, but lift them up right now and say, God, I'm asking you. I'm connecting my love and my faith and I'm mixing it, Lord, and I'm asking you for these people. I'm asking you to touch them tonight. I'm asking you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm asking you. This is the start, Lord. This is the start breakthrough. I'm asking you to touch them. I'm asking you to save them. I'm asking you to restore them. I'm asking you to bring them back. I'm asking you to bring conviction out of their lifestyle. Lord, I'm asking you for them to come to church. I'm asking you, Lord, to set them free. I'm asking you, Lord, to touch that cancer. I'm asking you, Lord, to touch that illness. I'm asking you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I'm asking you.
Don't wait for a crisis to bring us to desperation.
Yes, God.
Don't wait for a crisis or a tragedy to bring us there. God, let God draw us there by His love to a Holy Spirit desperation tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Many of us have seen answered prayer. Let's believe for even greater things. Let's encourage ourselves tonight. We have a God who answers prayer. Hallelujah. Let's stir our heart up tonight. Let's encourage ourselves in the Lord and say, no, our God answers prayer. Our God answers prayer.
Hallelujah.
Mountains still move. Giants still come down. Prison doors still open. Captives still get set free. The sick still get healed. God opens doors. Are you sick tonight? Do you have a sickness in your body? If you're sick tonight and you'd like prayer, would you lift your hand for me and say, would you pray for us? Can you keep your hand up? Can I ask some of the students from the summit maybe, men with men, women with women, just to pray for those who have their hands lifted up and just pray. God will touch their bodies, or don't even need to ask them what it is. Just say, Lord, we're asking for your healing touch in Jesus' name. Would you pray for them? Those who have lifted their hands. Pray for healing. Is this not what we're meant to do? We're not meant to pray for one another. Hallelujah. Prayer can turn mourning into dancing. Prayer changes things. It changes us, and it can change our families, it can change our churches, it can change our cities. Mixed with His love and our faith. I tell you, stuff can happen. But I want you to leave this altar with great hope. We have a God who answers prayer. We have a God who answers prayer. What hope? What hope we have? Carry into everything in prayer. What hope? It's an eternal hope because He's an eternal God. What hope. Hallelujah. What a joy it is to bring everything to God in prayer. And He cares. And He knows. And He has the power to deliver.